free is not realistic. We live in a sin-cursed world. We live with fallen man all around us, and we are part of that. Our bodies are falling apart from the time we're born. We're not getting better, as the evolutionists want you to believe, but this world is falling to pieces. I'm not here to tell you gloom and doom. I'm here to tell you reality. That if we understand reality, it helps us deal better with the trials that come our way. Amen. Every now and then, God takes our lives off script. We're going along good and things are going our way, and all of a sudden something comes right out of nowhere. Like you have cancer. Like your son was just killed in a car wreck. Like you fill in the blank. Those are not part of our script. We would never write that in on our script. But God is still in control. If we truly believe that God is still on the throne of our life, then we have to believe that it didn't slip past him. Nothing gets past God. He did not, he's never woken up and said, "Uh-oh, I missed that." It does not happen. Because we have a sovereign God. We have an all-knowing God, an all-powerful God, an omniscient God. Amen? And he cares about us, even in the situations we stand back and say, "I don't see how this is going to happen. I don't see how this could be part of God's will." This is where our trust in God will be tested. This is a time when it will reveal our spiritual life. It's not necessarily when we're made stronger, though we can be, but it will reveal how strong we are. This is why you see people facing trials and disappear and quit on God and shake their fist at God like they you know, the created is shaking their fist at the Creator. Are we thinking? He's the one who made us. He knows all about us. He knows what it feels like. He's been tempted in all points without sin. That's why he came to live 33 homesick years here on this sin-cursed world, so that he could understand what it feels like to be rejected, to be abandoned, to suffer loss, to have a loved one die, to be rejected. Jesus understands, my friend. He knows how you feel. He knows how I feel. These unexpected adventures are often alarming, painful, uncomfortable, even scary sometimes. Sometimes we think of them as detours. Yes, this is talking to me now. You think it's a detour, and I got to get back on that track. Huh? But is it a detour? Maybe in our mind, we try to figure out how we get back on course, or better known as our script. This is not on my script, and so this has got to be a side trip that I've got to end and get back on course. Sometimes events or detours are irreversible and make it so we cannot go back to our predetermined script. The question is what we'll do with that. Will we allow that to build our faith stronger in him, to look to him more, to depend on him more, or will we turn our back on God, take things into our control, and say, "I can do better than God"? That, of course, would be a mistake. Just as God allowed cancer in my wife's life in about 3 years ago, this time of the year, 2 years ago, we left the mission field, not knowing if we could ever go back to Okinawa, Japan. You see, that was on my script, and I had every intention of getting back there. But God had to change my heart about that. He had to get me to where I would trust His plan, where I would accept that He's saying, I'm done with you there. I have something else for you. And you see, God is not punishing us. He's moving us on to the next thing He wants us to do. Amen? And it may be in your life that you've had a disappointment someplace. You had a change in your life that you didn't bring on. And you've been doing what you're supposed to, and you're trying to serve God. But all of a sudden, a detour is put in your script, and you're wondering, how do I get back to where we're supposed to be? Instead, we should ask God, am I supposed to be back there, or do you want me somewhere else? These off-script journeys are anything but detours, for they are intricately a part of His script, His heart and purpose for our lives. That's a hard one to swallow, especially if you're in the middle of a trial right now. And I don't know who you are, but I've got good news for you. Our Lord knows you. He knows where you are tonight. Whatever the burden is, the heartache, the trial, the uncertainty that you're facing, He's a big enough God to help you through it. He's a big enough God to help you know the next step. He wants to help you, my friend. The question is, will you let Him? Look at our story here, the life of Apostle Paul. We can learn many lessons reading. I love the book of Acts. If you haven't read through this lately, I encourage you to do so. You can pick up many times where God was good to Paul, though he was in the middle of a major trial. He was in the middle of a storm. Let's look at some of that tonight. He's the prisoner. Keep in mind, he's the prisoner when he tells the others on the ship. And this was a ship, 276 people on this ship. This is no rowboat going across the Mediterranean. And they are fighting for their life in a storm, what would probably be equivalent to a tropical storm, as they're trying to cross the Mediterranean. And the Mediterranean is no lake. It is an ocean, a sea. And I've flown many hundreds of hours over that thing, and you can't see shore anywhere. And so they're out in the middle of this storm in the Mediterranean Sea, and the waves are coming over the top, and they're bobbing there like a bobber in a storm. And Paul is the one who says, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." The prisoner says to those who are free men, "Be of good cheer, for I believe God." Wow, I want the faith of Paul. How about you tonight? You want the faith of Paul? In the middle of adversity, he's still got faith that God's in control, that God is still on the throne of his life, and he hasn't forgotten Paul, no matter how bleak it is. 14 days without sun or stars. Can you imagine that? That's dark. That's a long time. Paul, now made a prisoner because he appeals to Caesar. And very easily, if somebody had been alongside, could have said, "You know, you could have avoided all this. You just kept your mouth shut. You could be back in Jerusalem instead. But look, now we're going to drown out here." But that's not what happened. So over and over, we see God's grace seen. Let's look at chapter 27, verse 2. It says there, "And entering into a ship of Adramidium, we launched." Notice "we." Who wrote the book of Acts? Nope. Luke. Yep, Luke. So Luke is included. We launched, meaning to sail by the coasts of Asia, one Aristarchus, he's another passenger with him, a Macedonian of Thessalonica. I got an idea he might be a convert of Paul's. Amen? Why would Luke list a guy otherwise? And so here we see Aristarchus being with us. God's grace seen, first of all, in that Paul didn't make this journey alone. Here's Paul, a prisoner. I don't know if you've ever had a friend or relative who was a prisoner being transported one place to another, but did they allow his friends to go with him? Kind of a funny thing here, I thought. But I think that's God's goodness. God knew that Paul had a long journey ahead. He was going into the unknown. He was going place where he had not been yet. And God said, I'm going to send some friends along with you. Ain't God good? Pardon my English. Ain't God good? Amen? All right. Look at verse 3. It says, and the next day we touched at Sidon. It means they come to land someplace. And Julius courteously entreated Paul and gave him liberty to go unto his friends to refresh himself. Now, who's Julius? Well, back in verse 1, it tells us that he was a centurion. He was a Roman soldier. He wasn't a believer that we know of. But God touched Julius's heart to be kind to the prisoner Paul so that he could get off the boat as a prisoner. He's allowed to go in and take a bath or wash his face and hands and refresh himself and get something to drink. That's a pretty interesting way to treat a prisoner. Amen? I believe God must have been there. Look at verse 14. In verse 14 through all the way over to 44, we see several times where God is present and gives safety in the storm. Now, this is one of the things in our life that we're usually most concerned with. As we face a blizzard, we face a huge rainstorm, a hurricane coming, whatever, what do we pray about? God, please keep us safe. God, please keep us safe. Please keep our family safe. Our first 6 months in Okinawa in 2004, we had 10 typhoons hit us. There were 21 in all, but only 10 hit us. Thank the Lord. With winds up to 165 miles an hour. If it wasn't tied down, brother, it was on the next island. Did a lot of praying. There for a while, it was almost every other weekend. I said, Lord, did I make a wrong turn somewhere? Please protect us. And so here we see safety in the storm. In verse 42, we see that he wasn't killed as they're swimming ashore. One of the soldiers, it says, and the soldiers' counsel was to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim out and escape. They weren't about to, normally, weren't about to let their prisoners swim off unharnessed somehow. Their shackles off, their chains off, their handcuffs, whatever they use, they were not restrained. But verse 43 says, but the centurion willing to save Paul. Whew. You know, God is watching out for you, my friend, if you are his child. If you belong to the Lord, if he has a purpose for your life, you are safe until you've accomplished it. Amen? What did Paul say in the text we read? He says in verse 21, sirs, ye should have hearkened unto me. Let's go down to verse 23. He gives the reason why he has such confidence in God. Number one, because he was saved. That helps. Amen? But he says, for there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, thou must be brought before Caesar. God had a purpose for Paul. Let me ask you tonight, do you know God's purpose for you? If you could not answer that, you know, right like that, I know God's purpose for me, right? Then you need to find what that is. Because when you know God's purpose for your life and you are pursuing that, you're trying to accomplish God's purpose for you today, you have God's protection. Amen? If he can protect Paul and these other 275 in the storm, he can protect you. He can get you to Caesar if that's who he has you going to witness to, and that's what Paul was going for. God had a task for Paul to do, and that was to take the gospel to Caesar's household. And so Paul rested in the assurance that God meant what he said, that God was going to get him there. Amen? That's encouraging. That's encouraging, friend. God's grace is seen over and over. In chapter 28, verse 3, we see that Paul was bit by a venomous snake. Over and over, we see the hand of God protecting his man. In verse 7, we see Publius received us and lodged us courteously. Chapter 28, verse 7. Let's read that real quick. In the same quarters were possessions of the chief man of the island, whose name was Publius, who received us and lodged us 3 days courteously. Now this was like the governor of the island. He was the chief man of the island. I mean, the governor does that all the time, right? Or the mayor. Does the mayor of the city take in strangers and house them in his home, feed him, treating them courteously? This is the work of God. This is God working. This is God's grace seen. In verse 10, we see that he was honored, and they laded him with many things they needed. They supplied them with their needs to go on the rest of their journey. And so God provides. His provision can be trusted, my friend. As you set out to do what God wants you to do, here we see that God is going to take care of the details. Amen? As we step out in faith, we walk in faith, we believe that God has given us a purpose, we need to trust him for the details. Oh, preaching to me. Sometimes I get hung up on the details. What about this? And how about if this wouldn't work out? And how am I going to get this part? And God says, I'm in control here. I want you to go forward and watch me work. Amen? Now keep in mind, this is all happening in a storm. This is all happening in situations that Paul didn't ask for. Just like you and me sometimes. In life situations, we didn't ask for. We're not being punished because of some sin. We were trying to do the right thing. We're trying to stay on course, and all of a sudden something comes our way that we didn't count on. And so we must take and apply this, trust the same God Paul had. We do have the same God. Amen? And so we see in verse 14, he's allowed to fellowship, given liberty again. Very peculiar for a prisoner to be given such liberty. Why do you believe that happened, Brother Johnson? Well, I'm glad you asked. Let's look at chapter 27, verse 22. And now I exhort you to be of good cheer, for there shall be no loss of any man's life among you, but of the ship. In other words, the ship's going down, but nobody's going to die. Boy, he spoke that with confidence. You think that he just pulled that out of his pocket, or he was trusting in the promises of God? Amen? Yes, sir. Hey, do we have a book full of promises here, my friend? Let's dig in there and find some promises to encourage us and to push us forward for God in the trials. That's where we really have the opportunity to show God we're trusting him. Amen? When everything's going smoothly and we say, well, I believe God, we don't have an opportunity to really show that. But when we are faced with the trial, We're faced with something we cannot, it's out of our control. And God must do something, or it's not going to happen. That's when we get to prove to God how much we really trust Him. Amen. Amen. We see in these verses here why God's grace was seen in the life of Paul is because of his faith. His faith. God could look down and see a man of faith. God says, go here. He went. God said, do this. He did it. He was a man of faith. And faith is exercised and shown by obedience to what God says. We can say we have all the faith we want to say we have, but until we obey what it says in the eye or the face of adversity, nobody can see our faith. So we must act in the face of adversity. We must continue to trust God in the trial. Amen? You're still out there, right? All right? Why did God show His grace? Well, faith in God and His Word. We have His Word. Amen. We must be a student of this book. We need to spend time in this book. If you're going through a trial right now, the place to be is in this book. Not on the phone, not on Facebook, not on whatever else. In this book, friend. This is the book that has the answers. This is the book that can give you hope in the trial. This is the one that will encourage your heart. David encouraged himself in the Lord his God. Where was he when that was written? In a cave, hiding from his enemies, huh? He encouraged himself in the Lord his God. We can do that. I wonder if that kind of thing there is what encouraged Paul. As he'd read the Old Testament stories about David, the same ones we can read, amen? And Paul said in Psalm chapter 27 that I had fainted unless I had believed the goodness of the Lord. Amen? David said, I would have fainted unless I had believed in the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. You see, our faith will be tested. Why did God show His grace? Because of Paul's faith in Him and His Word. Because in verse 31, we see his willingness to stay and trust God and trust that God knew best. Verse 31 of chapter 27, then Paul said to the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. God had told him, I'm going to keep you alive. He didn't tell him, jump over. So the best thing to do is, just like we're taught in the military, you carry out the last given order until you're given another one. Amen? Amen. God says, go forward. You keep going forward till He tells you turn right. Because God is on the path with you. You don't want to turn off the path. Why did God show His goodness? Well, God had a purpose, so we mentioned that. We see that God had something for Paul to do along the way. Publius, who showed him great help, his father was one who needed healing. And God used Paul to heal him. So God has some things along the trail of adversity for us to do. It may be to encourage somebody else with the comfort that you've already received. Paul wrote about the comfort from God. Amen? It's not just for us, but that we may pass it on to others that have a need for comfort. And it may be that God will take you through something like He did your pastor's wife, so that one day she could be a help and comfort to my wife. Amen? But it wasn't just to end with my wife. It was that she could then pass that on to others that would go through that trial. See? And that's what the Christian life is supposed to be about. It's not about making more money and having a 3-car garage and a cabin on the lake. It's about showing the world the work of God in our life and being used of Him along the path. So, I close with this. What is God trying to accomplish in your life through the hard times? What is God trying to accomplish in your life, my friend, through the hard times? Because he has a plan. He has a purpose. He doesn't waste trials. He didn't say, oh, well, I just think I'll give Randy Johnson this. I have nothing else to do today. Mm-mm. That's not the kind of God we have. He gave me cancer, or allowed me to have cancer in 2001. Because of that, I could name quite a few things he did. He did. There were several of my loved ones saved because of that. A family went to the mission field. They were called to the mission field because we were home for a year and a half. God put us in their path. And on it could go. There was a purpose. It wasn't just that I could get well or that I could go back to Portugal, but I did. But he had something for me to do there along the way. What's God trying to accomplish in your life in the hard time? Ask God to show you. Beg God that you won't miss what he's trying to accomplish. Because I kind of wonder if he may bring another one around if we miss it the first time. I pray often, oh God, help me learn it this time. I want to do this again. Amen? None of us out there, their hand in the air, asking for a trial. Do you see God's hand of grace and goodness in your trial tonight? Maybe if you don't, you should come and make a place at the altar. Say, Lord, help me to see your goodness and your kindness in this trial. Give me strength to get through the trial. Give me your guidance. Show me the way. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's a promise we can claim. Say, Lord, I'm trying to do the right thing. I'm trying to stay on track. I'm trying to live for you. And you say in your word that the steps of a good man or woman are ordered by the Lord. Now, Lord, I'm asking you to order my steps. Show me. Guide my steps. Help me to know what you're trying to do. Do you see God's hand of grace and goodness? Do you see his protection, his provision, his blessing and grace? Let's look for the blessing. Let's look for God's hand in the storms. Father, help us. We're frail. We're but flesh. Lord, none of us are looking for a trial to endure. But I believe there's probably many here who could say, you know, this is going on in my life. And I don't know why. I pray you'd help the people tonight, your people here in Carver, Massachusetts, Lord. You know about them. You know all about them. You know exactly what they're facing. And you know the answer to their question, their burden. I pray that you help us to come before you tonight on our knees and ask you to show us, to guide us, that we might learn what you're trying to teach us, and we might accomplish your purpose for the trial that you brought our way. And we'll be careful to give you the glory and praise for all that's done. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, let me ask you to stand.